Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Jenna Zins. Welcome, Jenna.
Thank you, Father. I am honored to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you. Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this day and for all the opportunities that you are giving to us. Help us that we might respond generously to the grace that you pour into our hearts. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, Jenna, as we begin this conversation, I always like to hear your story, the story of how you encountered Christ and your conversion. So
Sure. Maybe
you could share that story with us today.
I would love to. I'm sure it's like so many other people's. You come to a point where life just begins to make sense in a new way. I think when I look back at how the Lord invited me into a deeper relationship with him, I'm so grateful. I was very blessed. I grew up Catholic. My parents, my mother was Catholic, raised Catholic. My father was raised Methodist, and then was kind of a non-practicing Christian as we grew up, but very supportive, never said anything bad about the church, you know, was very helpful and having us be obedient to my mother as she raised us in the faith. And my mom did a great job. We knew what we should and shouldn't do. We knew who we should and shouldn't love, you know, meaning Jesus. So she did a great job. But I don't think I ever knew Jesus on a personal level, which I'm sure you've heard so many times. It's weird the way the Lord can work, kind of on this periphery. Sometimes when I do ministry with younger people, I'll say, you know, when you go to camp, you'll go to seventh grade science camp or summer camp, and you're sleeping on those weird beds, and it's this like paper thin mattress, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That crinkles every time you move, and it's so gross. But you realize, like, I could sleep. If I had to, I could sleep in this bed every night. And then if you go to a hotel or something, and you see this king size pillow top mattress, you know, this glorious bed, and you think, I had no idea it could be this good. I think that's when I think about my conversion. I was flopping around, you know, on this horrible, like, space my whole life. Like, oh, this is just kind of how it goes. This, I can do this. I can get by. And then when I met the Lord, I was like, wow, life can be this good? I had no idea. And so I spent years, you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes, doing the right thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Going to Mass, going to youth group, doing what I was asked, and then had several years where I encountered other people, like, in college. And I was looking at other people. I'm like, oh, they don't do what they're asked? Oh, they don't do what they grew up doing? And it kind of looked like this new freedom to me. And it was really interesting to look at people who I thought were really good people, really smart people who came from good families and were trying to make their own way. And I thought, I want to do that too. So I don't think I ever left the faith. I would call myself Catholic. At Christmas and Easter, I was really into the faith. You know what I mean? And then I just started to make my own way, but I still had friends and family who very patiently and very lovingly and very kindly would just say, hey, I'm doing this. I'm going to Mass on a Sunday, like normal, if you want to join. Or, hey, I'm going to listen to this talk. I'm going to go read this book and find new information about the Catholic faith. And for a long time, I would say, good for you, not good for me. And then it was after enough of those invitations, and a good friend of both of ours, Megan Baum, actually would consistently invite me back and consistently ask me to help her minister to young people, which is so funny because I was so unworthy other than having a fun personality and being able to approach people for conversation without being afraid. That's all I was offering, really. You know, no strong faith life by any means. But she invited me to chaperone this trip to, I think it was Kansas City, for an event called the National Catholic Youth Conference, which is just my nightmare, in case you're wondering. Have you been? I can't remember.
No.
So it sounds like your nightmare,
yeah,
too.
I try not to put myself in an opportunity of a nightmare.
So. Yeah. It's wonderful. It's 20,000 or so energetic teenagers, which has its place. It's very lovely. For me personally, you know, moving in a group that large from point A to point B is just so overwhelming. I had so much anxiety. But all that to say, can't the Lord work even in a nightmare?
Yeah.
Isn't that so funny that I'm in this place, I'm looking around, I just want everyone to be quiet most of the time, you know, and I'm kind of bombarded for the first time as a receptive person with some of the truths of the faith that I haven't acknowledged in years. And so it was a really overwhelming weekend. And I remember Mass with 20,000 people, as you can imagine, takes a really long time. So just having a lot of time for prayer at, you know, during the liturgy of the Eucharist. And I can't even describe it other than for the first time I heard the voice of the Lord in my heart. I can't say that it was as if you and I are talking now and I heard a voice, but the senses of my heart for the first time in a very clear way. I heard the Lord say, basically, stop being an idiot. And not in a cruel way or an accusatory, but, you know, a kind of a fatherly advice. Hey, stop being an idiot. You know who I am. And it was clear as day, and I just wept. And it was all of these years of me being a bad daughter to our Father in heaven, me being a bad Christian, me being a bad Catholic. I was flooded with that reality. But at the same time, this great invitation for what was next. And I had no idea what was next. Basically, I came home and tried to say a rosary every day because I knew the Our Father and the Hail Mary. So that's where I started. I didn't know any of the opening prayers or any of the closing prayers. I forgot how many I was supposed to do. And it just, it opened the floodgates for me, learning so much more about our faith and discovering who I was supposed to be. So it was, yeah, it, that was, that's kind of the aha moment, if you will. And then years of a lot of trial and error and effort and trying to figure things out.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Jenna Zins. Jenna, as we've been talking, I think one of the things that struck me, and maybe you can answer this, maybe you can't, but we'll find out. If you can remember before sort of your encounter with Christ, which happened at the National Youth Conference, what was your experience or concept of God? Because I think so often in people's story and in the life of, you know, of all of us, there is this sort of distant God that, you know, that we maybe have an intellectual knowledge of, that we've been raised in, that we maybe even come to worship weekly even throughout our life, but one that's not really a part of our life. And then after the conversion, there's almost like a new naming of this being, you know, like before he was a distant mystery, and then there's something where he is a more present mystery after our conversion. And I think typically, like in at least in Catholics in this, you know, contemporary age, some, you know, kind of pre-conversion, we'll talk about God in this sort of as God, in a sort of a generic kind of concept. But then there tends to be more of a naming him at, you know, the person of Jesus Christ, because there's this sort of lived presence in one's life. And I don't know, I mean, could you maybe talk a little bit about what was God like before your conversion?
That rings so true. And I know, I cringe sometimes when generic words are used when we're talking about Catholicism and when we're talking about conversion, but distant really is the most appropriate word. I always trusted the Lord's provision in my life. If I had a hard time, it was easy for me to take a deep breath and to truly and honestly believe everything's going to be okay. That was a reality that I could completely embrace. But there was, I think sometimes what we do just as humans is you kind of take the experiences around you and you apply those to anything else you're used to. So for instance, what we're used to as leadership in this country, okay, we have a mayor. I don't personally know the mayor, but they make decisions. Okay, we have a governor. I don't know the governor, but I know maybe he's advocating me on some level. I don't know the president, but I'm sure the president is doing X, Y, and Z. And so I think we take those kind of experiences and then apply them to religion. Because if we don't know Jesus, if we can't name Jesus Christ on this personal level, on this really intimate level, that's what makes the most sense to us. So I think that's how I saw the Lord, was distant, taking care of me, loving me from afar. And that was what I thought was kind of the extent of what that relationship might look like. Even I would say, Father, and I'm just now realizing this in this conversation because I'm an external processor, so I can honestly say I've never thought of this before. But I think even sainthood, the concept of sainthood, was just people who did good things. People who were just kind of tired because they served a lot. Whereas now I understand what sainthood means is you are so in love with God that your life looks a different way. So there's no accounting for how many hours you serve, how many people you serve, because when you love God and he asks you to do something, that looks different for each of us. And so even that concept, there was a distance in, you know, kind of earning your keep. Oh, the saints are the people who just kind of went crazy and worked really hard, mm-hmm. versus they know God so well and they love him so much that their entire lives changed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it very much so. And I think it's really the heart. One, first of all, is what's distinctive about Christianity is the incarnation and the sacramental systems, that God is present, not just in the spiritual sense, but he is physically present, and even more so that he actually shares our life with us.
Yes.
And this is the heart of the message, and it's really the great secret which the church has to offer the human race. And it's really, I also propose, is the solution to all of the problems in the world and
absolutely.
The human person. So.
And do you know, I'm engaged to be married. Obviously, I want to throw that in there because I love my fiancé so much. But he says one of the things he noticed about me when we first started dating, and his description, he said, I could tell that you lived every day with Jesus Christ. Like, you lived in relationship with him every day. And that to me, that I'm like, thank you. That's all I want to do.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
Well, amen. Well, you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. And with me today has been Jenna Zins, and we're going to continue this conversation. But until next time, peace and all good.